Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Bachelor, greatest seasons ever, plus Labor of Love wrap up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, we need a better title. What are we at this point?
I don't know. Like, I feel like we've gone through so many transitions in the last, like, 6 months, 5 months even. We were The Bachelor wrap-up, then we were the Bachelor Presents Listen to Your Heart wrap-up, then we were Just the Labor of Love wrap-up, and now we are The Bachelor Greatest Seasons of All Time and Labor of Love wrap-up. So that's a lot.
We're really just wrapping up everything we are watching at this point in time that's somewhat related.
Yeah, we're having a good time. I'm actually looking forward to seeing some of these old seasons. Mm-hmm. I had a good time watching the episode last night. One thing that was very noticeable, and I think is going to continue to be noticeable as we go through the rest of the seasons, we're going to see. Mm-hmm. And something that has been a very relevant topic in the sphere lately, and that is how white The Bachelor is. And how mm-hmm. few Black people and people of color are on the franchise, especially in some of these older seasons. So there is a new campaign, and we believe it's run by Brett Vergara on Twitter, mm-hmm. at Brett S. Vergara. It's called the Bachelor Diversity Campaign. And what they're trying to do is get a Black lead for The Bachelor.
Something we have been saying forever. We could have been saying more. We could have been more vocal about it.
Absolutely.
And this is the campaign behind it. And it's awesome. It's getting a lot of coverage. It's getting mm-hmm. alums of the franchise supporting it, signing it. We've signed it. It's on Instagram, probably on Twitter as well, at Batch Diversity is the account to follow.
Part of their petition. Wow, is that a weird word? Petition. Part of their petition is a campaign for anti-racism in the Bachelor franchise. So some of the things they want to see. And to me, reading these, they're all completely reasonable asks mm-hmm. that should have happened so long ago. So cast a Black Bachelor as a season 25 lead.
Season 25.
There has been 25 men to lead this franchise.
Yeah. They say one of their taglines, 40 seasons, 18 years, one Black 20, lead.
24 guys to lead the franchise, mm-hmm. I guess, if we're counting Brad twice. Cast BIPOC for at least 35% of contestants each season hereafter. Give equitable screen time to BIPOC contestants. Actively support BIPOC cast, including providing mental health resources specifically geared to helping them navigate Bachelor franchise experience as BIPOC. Equitably compensate and hire more BIPOC employees in all parts of production, casting, and filming. Publicly pledge to vet contestants more thoroughly to ensure those who've promoted prejudice, for example, ableism, racism, sexism, white supremacy, religious intolerance, homophobia, transphobia, are not cast. And there's some more stipulations, and I think they're all wonderful. So you can check out their website, batchdiversity.com, and you can sign their petition. Like Amy said, we have both signed it. We will continue to ask people to sign it. I think this is really important. Like you said, we have been talking about this. We should be saying it every episode. We are going to continue to talk about it. And it's obviously very, very important. So please sign the petition. That would be fantastic. We mm-hmm. would love for you to do that.
Yeah, I saw a recent post from Charlene on Instagram, and she was something she said. It was kind of like how I had been feeling about it was just more like, I think I was just like, oh, just kind of optimistic, like maybe they'll get to it, and kind of taking their talking points like, oh, it's about ratings. And it's like, that's not acceptable. Like, lose your audience if you need to, because.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, I remember them. I remember talking about it, how Rachel's season had the smallest audience out of, you know, however many
the recent Bachelorette ones,
and then they were afraid to go back to a Black woman. And it's like, do you really want those people watching?
Right. And they haven't come out and said anything like about the Hannah Brown controversy. And so they haven't said anything about what's going on right now in the world. And responded to this campaign. And Rachel Lindsay has come out and said, I'm going to disassociate. And she hosts a podcast from that's produced by The Bachelor. It's Bachelor Happy Hour, the official podcast of the show, that she will no longer be part of the franchise or associate herself with it if they do not make changes. And, you know, we've always celebrated that she's so vocal. But also, on the same side, why is it just her that
has to be vocal? Why does it have to be Rachel and Rachel by herself is talking about these things? It's so unreal that we are sitting here 6 years into our podcast and we're still saying the same things we've been saying for so long. And we are going to continue to not be quiet about it. We're going to be even louder about it. That's our promise to you. Because it's something we both completely believe in.
Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed listening to Rachel's recent coverage. She's been written blog posts, and there was one line that really stood out to me that was just like, I loved it, about explaining why. And she was talking about this show, The Greatest Seasons Ever, and was like, make sure you tune in on Mondays for all the white reasons to watch Bachelor Greatest Seasons Ever, as it will weekly highlight the very thing that is wrong with this franchise. And we saw that on Sean's season. Like,
yeah,
we didn't profile any black contestant because they didn't make it far enough to even, you know, be remembered on the show. So, you know, they made some progress with casting in recent years. And then what Rachel has brought up is you can't use the excuse of no one's made it far enough to be memorable, because we have had contestants make it far enough and have been memorable and have been far preferable.
He made it till like week four, and they still chose them.
Right. So that wasn't even an excuse.
We have so many wonderful black men that can be chosen as the lead. Let's even look at last season. Mm-hmm. We were both so disappointed that Mike Johnson was not chosen as Bachelor. Instead, Peter was. And look how that turned out. That was
right.
Season.
It's just like the worst. Yeah. Nobody was clamoring for him.
No.
We were very disappointed in that announcement. Yeah. And we had a ton of movement behind people supporting Mike, wanting to see him. And then when he was on Bachelor in Paradise, he was hardly shown as well. And so then we recently had Listen to Your Heart. There was a black contestant on their first night. We never heard her sing. We barely learned her name. We didn't know anything about why she was there. So just in how they represent them once they are cast is just so unfair.
Mm-hmm. We agree. And even there was this post from Catherine Guidici last night, from 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And she obviously, spoiler alert, won Sean's season. So she said, tomorrow our season of The Bachelor re-airs in a condensed 3-hour episode. When I was originally cast, I was very flattered, but somewhat grounded by the fact that I would be one of the faces that represented people of color. I knew that one of the reasons I was probably chosen was because I was Filipino. I counted myself out to be his fiance because of what I assumed Sean liked. I thought I was there just to check a box, but I ended up with so much more. So she said some more about that.
Mm-hmm.
But even Catherine knew back then, she looked around at who else was there and she was like, I am checking a box here. Mm-hmm. You might not even want me here.
Right.
And that's a feeling that a lot of our contestants of color have said throughout the years, that they stood there and looked around and went, okay, I get what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing Rachel has brought up is, as being important, that she's been asking for, is vet the leads and find people who are open to dating people of other races, because some of these people are counted out just depending on who they cast anyway. Like, if that's something that they haven't dated outside their race before, they're not open to that, then how are those people going to advance? You know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and then it's interesting to see like Hannah Brown being chosen as the Bachelorette. She placed sixth, I think, and we had Tayshia in third place. So they're kind of like conveniently making, you know, choices to benefit, you know, for their reasons and not making this a priority.
Or we would have loved to see Eric as the Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And we got Ari. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Is that who came right? Yeah, we got Ari. I think Eric would have been a fantastic lead. And obviously with Rachel's season, there was more Black people and more people of color than on any other season. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about way back, our first season that we covered, we talked about Marquell, and we got Chris Soules instead. Look what that got us.
Oh my gosh. Gosh, we really have been at this for a long time, haven't we, Amy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so please, 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 please sign this petition. You can find it at batchdiversity.com. I've retweeted it. I think Amy's also retweeted it. If you're in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group, I put a post in there about signing it too. So batchdiversity.com, please sign it. That'd be great. Let's get this going. Let's see a Black lead for season 25. I think this is a good opportunity. We can see this if Claire's season gets delayed. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of men we could choose from.
Yeah. Do you think they would almost be filming simultaneously? I have seen that rumor that they have to pick from, not from Claire's season because of just it being delayed. And people are bringing up Mike's name again.
Yeah. Bring up Mike's name. Mike would be so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. So we are going to cover in the show The Bachelor, Greatest Seasons of All Time, something like that. They need a better title.
Yeah.
And we're also going to, we are still keeping up with Labor of Love, but we're going to wrap it all into this podcast. So,
last week, I don't know if you listened to the episode of me and Angela. After like 25 minutes, I was like, oh, no,
Mike, what does he think of it? Can we just call on Mike Bloom when we're, you know, we get to half hour mark and we're like, okay, what else can we say? Yeah. Mike, go off on it for a bit. We're done.
Did you know Sean's season was going to be the first one they showed?
No. I think it was recently announced. I saw an ad where they're like, you asked for it. I'm like, I didn't see a poll go out. I don't know if they want to, maybe they just want to start on a high note in the fact that it was a successful season. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
I would agree that's why they started there. And it really brought back how much I love this season. I think Sean was a great bachelor for the fact that he was earnest and he was there for love and he really wanted that. He took the process very seriously, but he had a lot of fun along the way. He was fun and funny and bright and warm, and he really cared about the women who were there, and in turn, they really cared about him. I thought his cast of women was really fantastic. It's actually the season I still follow the most people from on Instagram. Hmm. Like I wanted to keep up with the people from his season.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because it was kind of like early social media.
Yeah, it was. And I feel like I've been so the three people I still follow are Catherine, Leslie, and Sarah, all three of which were highlighted in this season, mm-hmm. which was cool. It was a great cast of women. They all seemed to like each other. I forgot Ashley was on this season. Because she did not get the most put together edit in her season of Bachelor in Paradise. So I kind of forgot that she was pretty down to earth and cool and had a pretty interesting backstory. So that was interesting to see.
Yeah. One thing I remember about his season was just kind of, it was surprising that Catherine was kind of not who I thought he would end up with. And I think back then the edit was more unpredictable too. Like you wouldn't always see the winner be featured as much, but I think that was also how it was sort of true to that particular season, was that he didn't have a front runner right away. But I think a lot of people thought it would be Desiree or Ashley. And then also, Lindsay was the second, and she had one of those the most wacky entrants. You thought she'd be eliminated the first night, so it kind of brought back those memories of he had a really good cast, and a lot of great contenders, and so it was one of those like unpredictable, exciting endings that I didn't know where it was going to go.
I really had no idea he was going to pick Catherine, mm-hmm. like, until Lindsay stepped out of the limo.
Right, exactly.
Honestly, like, it was, that was probably one of the last seasons where we really didn't have any idea what was going to go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's always fun.
But we were happy with any, with, like, I feel like I feel like I really, really liked Catherine, so I wanted mm-hmm. him to pick her. Mm-hmm. But I liked Lindsay, too, and watching this episode, I really liked Lindsay. She was a lot of fun. She was really bubbly and bright, but, like, in a really nice way. Mm-hmm. She didn't seem to get involved in any of the drama in the house. And, you know, there were so many scenes where Tiara was, like, doing something, and you just saw Catherine in the background being like, what is going on here?
Right. And I was bummed that we did not get a reunion with Tiara. Like, she seems to have totally separated herself, but I think it would have been a good chance for characters like that to come back on, laugh at themselves, or, you know, explain themselves or something. It would have just been fun to see where she's at.
Yeah, I'm super disappointed we didn't see her. Like you said, this wasn't like the heyday of Bachelor social media, but I remember tweeting about this season. And I feel like Tiara probably didn't get a lot of love that season. And why would you really want to come back and talk about it? I feel like I would maybe just come back just to be like, hey, like, LOL, I laugh about it now. I still mm-hmm. have sparkle. Look how great right. I am.
Yeah. I've got this eyebrow line coming out, eyebrow products or something. Like, yeah. She could totally market this. Because I think, like, it just is more, like, fun now, like, to look back at her antics. Whereas, like, back then, I think people took it really serious. Like, this girl is the villain. Like, she's not there for Sean.
Yeah, like, remember when, like, that was the villain in the season and not Racist Lee, who was literally racist?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Which reminds me, that's another point that Rachel has brought up, that her, like, the show did not say anything about Lee. They made her talk about it. And even on Peter's Women Tell All, they made Rachel come in and read these horrible comments that the women on Peter's cast were getting. And it's like, okay, you can't just have Rachel as this appointed, like, I'm going to come in and talk about racism. You know, like, enough is enough with, like, just relying on her to do it. Like, take your own stand on it. So, yeah. And why cast someone like that? Like, that was horrible. And they probably could have easily found out, or maybe they knew and they still were like, oh, this is drama.
That's even worse. That, mm-hmm. Like, I really hope that's not the case.
Right.
But, you know.
Right.
But yeah, Tiara, that was fun. That feels like some really low stakes drama.
Yeah. So what do you think her issue was? Like, were any of those injuries or legit? Or was this just like her way of getting attention?
I don't know. I really don't know. I can imagine you'd get hypothermia from jumping in the lake. I've fallen down the stairs a time or two.
Right. But then it was like, all of a sudden she's like, no, I don't need to get an x-ray.
Do you think she was the prototype for Kelsey in Crystal's season?
It's very similar now looking back. Like, she didn't have the, like, sad backstory, but it's a similar.
She did. Her husband died.
No, I mean, Tiara didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Remember how awful it was when everyone tried to say that Kelsey killed her husband?
No, I haven't seen Tiger King, but is that like a similar?
Interesting.
What people are saying about that.
I don't know.
That's the only headline I've seen about that.
I stuck to Love is Blind and Too Hot to Handle for my exactly. Netflix.
That's the Netflix binges that we did. Yeah. That's another one who I could see Kelsey not returning, but there's no way that Crystal's season is one of the best ever. So
No. Yeah, so I saw that Caitlin's season is airing next week, so I can only assume that they're just going to hop, skip, and jump right on over Chris's.
Yeah, Caitlin's and then Ben's is next, and they haven't announced the others.
And I can only assume that because we talked to Dez tonight, mm-hmm. we're not seeing her season either.
Right. Yeah. They really were just like, oh, yeah, you guys are happy. But they never trot them out as like a big success story. I don't think they were that excited about that season. I thought it was interesting at the beginning when the show started, like this clip show, they were showing like clips from Colton's season. They were showing clips that weren't in any of these other previews. It's like, are they trying to make us like think that they're going to show these seasons? Like they showed Rachel's season, and I saw something from Reality Steve that he said that hers is not going to be one of the ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I hope they change their minds.
That's
about that,
really disappointing.
Because that would be, yeah, very disappointing.
That was one of our favorite seasons.
Right. Right. So, I can't imagine they would show Colton's season. Like, it was so recent.
Oh my God.
And
can you imagine? Oh, please don't make me.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're just trying to keep, like, just have an exciting promo that just shows like all these different seasons. They showed Alex Michelle. Like, I just can't think that they would show his season as one of the greatest ever. So maybe it's just that they're weaving in these little updates, because we did talk to Peter. We did, you know, hear from Desiree. So maybe that's how they're like accounting for it. Like, right. Oh yeah, we're like going back and checking in on this and checking in on this, but I can't imagine that they would pick that season. One thing that stood out to me, I know I'm jumping around, but you know how there was all that controversy about Ben Higgins saying, I love you to two women. But then Sean Lowe, when he was breaking up with, he said, I love you to Lindsay.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
There's no reason. Like, he already,
I guess,
ended
it's because he already broke up with her.
Yeah, but that didn't get any controversy that I recall. So,
And it reminded me of one of my favorite Bachelor moves of all time. And I've loved Lindsay for this for a long time. And that's once you get broken up with, just take your shoes off. You're done.
Claire did that too, right?
I can't remember.
I think she did. I think she was holding her shoes and like pointing at him. Like, I would not want my children to have a father like you. So do you think they'll show Juan Pablo's season? They have to, right? Because of Claire?
I would think. Yeah.
Because they did say, like, you know what? I wonder if they're grouping these. Because like when they did the promos initially, it was like, the ones you love, the ones you love to hate, or the ones you hate, or something like that. So maybe they'll batch together Juan Pablo, Jake Pavelka, Brad, or something like that. I don't think there's any bachelorettes that are like a love-to-hate category. So
I don't think so.
They're a lot more successful. And then I could see like them not doing Ashley's and JP's season, but just like checking in with them on another episode. Like, let's check in with a happy couple or something like that.
I would love to see their, because I didn't watch that season. So I would love to see it.
Yeah, that would be good. It looks like we're going to get Allie's season for sure. I think they've shown a lot, and JoJo's. So they can only show so much, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm really excited for Caitlin's next week. I don't think they're showing Nick's. I think they're going to bring Nick on to talk about.
Oh, dang. I would like to see Nick's too.
Yeah. To talk about Caitlin. So, yeah. So let's see. What other characters? Oh, I also saw something else from Reality Steve that, because now, like, there's no spoilers right now. So I feel like I can, like, safely, like, go to his page. And he had said that Chris Harrison and Ashley Frazier dated for a little bit. And then he also dated Selma on the season, who didn't show at all. But I thought it was interesting that when they showed Ashley, like, she was the only one that they didn't like say, what are you up to now? Like, and she's married and has kids. But with everybody else that they brought in, it was like, oh, like, let me meet the boyfriend, the husband. So
yeah, strange. I was surprised at that too. And I don't know if I'm just reading into it because now I know that they dated, but like, they seemed extra flirty on camera.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know.
Good to see you again. Yeah. Oh, and I also found out that apparently Reality Steve is dating Kat Dunn from Big Brother right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Definitely interesting. Yeah,
she was on the same season as former guest and our friend Kemi. So now we're like 4 degrees of separation from Reality Steve.
I guess so.
That's what we've always wanted.
Right. As long as we don't get the spoilers. Yeah. So. That's interesting. That's all the updates I have from him. Let's see. So we checked in with Ashley. I don't think they showed as much as they could have from her. They kind of skipped around, like her getting eliminated, which I think she was really heartbroken about that. And they kind of went from like, I don't know. What did you think of how they structured and showed the season? I was expecting it to be a little more like
chronological.
Yeah, a little more chronological. Chris Harrison would introduce each one from his home studio. It was a lot like Jeff Probst in his garage kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm broadcasting here. Look at my son behind the camera.
Yeah. The son behind the camera one time, funny. The 40th time, I was like, okay, Chris, we get it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was a little more chronological. I get why they did more like highlighting of people than really just kind of going along with the story. I thought it was interesting that they talked about Sarah, but didn't really show her elimination, which I remember pretty vividly because he like pulled her aside before before the actual rose ceremony to say like, hey, I have a lot of respect for you, so I'd rather do this in private. I don't know. Interesting, but I love Sarah, so I was excited to see her.
Yeah, and instead of like showing more of Leslie's story with him, it was just like, let's actually watch this uncomfortable Guinness World Record kiss
for 3 minutes. Like, we literally watched the whole 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So obviously this was Ethan's introduction to that. at the beginning, he was like, no, this is so cool. Like, you get to be in the Guinness World Book of Records. I was like, okay. And then by like minute 1.5, he was like, I can't watch this anymore. This is so brutal. Yeah. I was like, yeah, imagine living it.
Well, and then what did Carly and Evan do? Didn't they try to like, they had like
hottest kiss.
Oh, the hottest kiss. Okay. Yeah. So that was worse because we got to see like
crying
and all that. Yeah. So it's interesting how they showed it. And then like the tiara thing, they're like, we're going to show this and this in the entirety, kind of let people judge for themselves. But then they kind of like set it up as if like we don't know who the winner is, like which woman
is so gonna... weird. Yeah. Because especially in some of the shots, you could see like the family photo of like Sean and Catherine with Chris Harrison in the background.
Right. And like the most romantic proposal. I feel like they had showed it before. So but then again, they were like, who is Peter Weber dating now? Like, he'll tell us for the first time. I mean, I guess he could have, knowing him, he could have shown, like, brought out somebody totally different, and that would have been more exciting, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else that, like, stood out or any other moments? Like, the Desiree family visit? Did that,
I forgot how bad that was.
Yeah.
I really forgot how bad that was. And I'm Sean so handled curious. It really well.
Yeah, I think, like, that was the deciding factor. Like, she was really the front runner at that point, seemed like. So I remember just thinking like they are so similar, like it just makes sense. They look so cute together. And yeah, that was very awkward, but it all worked out for the best for them. So
yeah.
Trying to think who else. And that still holds up, I think, as the most awkward family visit, the most memorable for being so bad.
Yeah, we saw a lot of kids this episode too. Mm-hmm. And it did nothing for my uterus shutting down in perpetuity. They were just a lot of screaming and running.
Yeah. Not too exciting to sit and talk to Chris Harrison for them.
No, but I will say Sean and Catherine's oldest son Samuel is the cutest kid I have ever seen. Yes. Oh my gosh, he was so adorable, and the way he put the little headphone in and said, "Hi, Mr. Chris."
Oh, I know.
That was the only time I was like, okay, well, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
But then when he ran away to get a car, I was like, okay, I see it. I see what's going on.
Yeah. I loved when Chris was like, hey, Samuel. Hey, Mia. Hey, brother?
Where's your brother? I was like, oh, no.
It's like they dubbed in the word Isaiah later on.
I can never remember Isaiah.
Yeah. It's funny.
Poor middle child syndrome.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think, like, I guess all in all, I'm happy with how they did it. Could have been a lot worse. I was worried that they wouldn't go and check in with people and it would just be clips. So I like that we did get to see people, and I wish we had seen more. Like, I don't think we saw anything that wasn't shown on the show. I wish they were like, here's from the lost footage, like this happened, or you didn't see this moment with Sean and Catherine or something like that.
Or like replay the bloopers from that season.
Right. Yeah. But I was kind of expecting it to be a little more like, sequential. And like, well, at this point, Sean was really like torn between this. I thought there may be more of that narration, but they just kind of let the clips speak for themselves. And then Chris would fill in the gaps. Like, after Leslie and Tiara were eliminated, then it was, you know, he had this connection with Desiree and we love to watch that. And it was just sort of,
All right. I think I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really know how they could make it better chronologically. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with them kind of highlighting stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting with Caitlin's to see when Nick arrives. And I think they'll show, like, they'll bring in Ben, they'll meet his fiance, they'll bring in, obviously, Jared and Ashley. You know, they have a lot of
alumni. Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll talk to Sean?
That's interesting. Like, I'm sure they asked him, but I could see him saying no. You know, like, he just wanna, because then they'll have obviously Caitlin and Jason on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Should we switch over to Labor of Love, or we have questions for this episode first?
Yeah, we have a few questions. Much thank you to Justin Feinberg, who once again did my job by putting the post of the questions in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group. So obviously you can ask questions there, or you can send us an email at bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about the season's in 3 hours. Like, if you've seen the season before, like, if any of this is a surprise to you, anything like that. It was it was kind of fun. I did appreciate that they left it hanging who he had picked. He kind of they kind of kept the secret. Like, so Ethan didn't know who won. So that was kind of
until him.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun.
That's good. Yeah, at least they can keep the final two a little more of a mystery for some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Justin Feinberg asked, did Chris Harrison's son really need to hear his father say the words twerk and selfie? How much do you think young Josh Harrison silently cringed while hearing his father say those words?
I feel like I feel like he cringed a lot because, like, Josh is even too young for those words.
Right. And do we really need to, like, the year was 2013. Twerk and selfie entered the dictionary. People were excited about Iron Man. It's like, it wasn't that long ago. It's very, very Jeff Probst-y, but
I will say I do remember watching this season in my dorm room in my final year of university. So that, like, felt really nice. I don't know. It did make me feel
it,
like, this
you
was
back
a
to
long
a time and place. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching Ben, the first Ben, his season, like, in my dorm room with, like, I was an RA and watching it with my, like, the girls in my building, and I had an all-girl dorm, so we would all go to the lounge and watch it and had a great time. But
fun.
Those are just some old lady memes.
For sure. What was the vest? This is also from Justin. What was the vest Chris Harrison wore during the Sean and Leslie world record on-screen kiss date more or less awkward than a 3-minute, 22-second kiss on a first date?
I cannot imagine anything more awkward than that kiss. And then, like, Chris Harrison walking around to all of the people, like, asking them about it, and then showing a clip of other people kissing while watching the kiss. Like, I don't.
Yeah, they had, like, a split screen. Like, why do we need to see, like, another couple, you know, kissing?
Kissing.
Like, so I'm sorry. So I just had to Google this. The longest screen kiss in a TV show. I said the longest on-screen kiss. Right now it's 3 minutes, 47 seconds. So somebody has beaten the record. It was achieved by David and Amy Barger on the Valentine's Day episode of Good Day Tulsa in Tulsa, Oklahoma on February 14th, 2013. So it was quickly, they quickly beat that record. They probably, like, were watching The Bachelor and were like, okay, let's do this on our morning show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. So, all right. Whenever this, when Claire's season starts up again, they just have to make 3 minutes, 50 seconds. New date idea. Bring back, go retro. Because if they're filming on, like, a closed resort or something, they're going to have to think of things like this.
Oh my God, no, Amy, don't give them those ideas. I would love if they just, like, did it and closed down Disneyland. Is Disney open again?
That was, I think Florida was opening up. I don't know if California, where it's located, you know, California has more stricter measures in place, I think. But
yeah.
Yeah, so I would like that too. There'd be more options.
That'd be kind of fun. I'm not even a Disney person. I think that would be a little fun.
Yeah. If they could, it'd be cool at Epcot, but that's in Florida, to have, like, go to the different countries.
No,
they could travel. No,
that would be amazing. Is there no Epcot in the other one?
No, there's just some California Adventure. So it's just, like, California themed stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been to the one.
Yeah.
And I was never, like, a big Disney person. So I was, like, happy to go, but then happy to never have to go again.
Right. just get the experience.
Yeah.
Jenna Rodolfsky, how do we feel about the fact that Chris Harrison dated Ashley after the season? Okay, so she found that out too.
I don't know. It feels a little weird and crazy, eh?
Yeah.
Wait, is Chris Harrison divorced by that point?
Must have been. Or separated at least.
I think.
Yeah, that must have been his divorce year. Because it was like, if he dated two women from the season. And I think there were rumors about him with Emily as well, but I don't
know. Oh, yeah, and Andy?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Chris Harrison, wow. Really getting around the guy. I guess, like, if I, yeah. I don't know.
Yes, Justin Feinberg.
A lot of pretty girls.
Right. Mentioned already in the Big Brother group, but surprise news, reality Steve is now dating Kat Dunn from BB21. Please react to this jaw-dropping plot twist.
I was really hoping you hadn't heard this yet.
Yeah.
And you'd read this question and be like, are you serious?
Right. I know. I don't know how I stumbled on that. I just happened to be like, oh, I'm just curious, like, what seasons are coming up. So I thought, if anyone knows, it would be Reality Steve. That is just strange. I mean, I guess they're in the same area. He has a podcast, but, you know, quarantine makes you do weird things.
I guess so, yeah.
So.
And she's not as young as I thought she was.
Right.
She's 30. But I thought she was like 24 dating this kind of like older guy who was like popular in reality TV, but she is a little older.
Yeah.
Is he an improvement from Nick from her season?
Probably.
Yeah.
He has, you know, he's self-employed and has made this into a career.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it's rumored that Big Brother is All-Star is this time around, and so I could see her being someone that would be back in the house.
You think so?
I don't know if they would last after that.
Yeah.
Yes. Emily Hawk, given that this is the only Bachelor season to have a successful final couple, where does this season rank for you? Do you prefer the sweeping romantic search that ends in love or the format breaking Bachelors we have now? Sean's is hands down one of my favorites, and watching again made me miss. Made me nostalgic for the traditional Bachelor journey. So I'm wondering if you felt the same way now that Ari, Colton, and Peter have taken the show's format a bit off the rails.
So I definitely think it was exciting in the first couple seasons that we were getting some off the format kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I really loved watching Sean's season. And it did have that really like wonderful romance that I think is the reason you and I fell in love with the show to begin with. We're mm-hmm. suckers. We love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I like Sean as a lead. He's done a good job, like remaining kind of cool and down to earth. And in the stretch since then, him being with Catherine still, I think, is obviously like a benefit to that. Mm-hmm. I really like Catherine. I think she's a wonderful pick. It felt warm watching this, and it made me happy, and I smiled because I'm a loser. I think I'm ready for some people who are genuinely serious about finding a match.
Right, which is why we were excited about Claire. I think Peter's season really put me over the edge where I'm like, no more of this. Like, we need a break from this. Like, that wasn't even, you couldn't even follow it. Like, we couldn't recap it because it was just like, what even happened? Like, what's going on with Maddie? And then he's
And now it feels Kelly. So pointless. Yeah, right. because he's with Kelly. Story. Who he obviously liked, and I feel like there was some sort of manipulation going on behind the scenes. You know, it was interesting how she said in last night's episode, like, oh, it was all my fault because, like, I would talk about my shoes and he wanted to talk about deeper stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't believe that was the reason he sent her home.
Because she, on some other podcast, I saw her quoted as saying, like, she would get locked in a closet. I mean, I think she was using, like, figurative language there, but like she would be kept away from going to talk to him kind of thing. Like, and that's something that producers have a hand in. They can't, mm-hmm. like, if they keep you in your ITMs for too long, then you miss out on talking to him or whatever it may be. So
And it feels a little pointless because he met her before.
Right. Yeah.
It's so like, why do we watch this? You ended up with a girl you met at a hotel. Like, what do you want from me?
Exactly. I like Chris trying to be like, oh, can we claim this? Like, yeah, why not? Like this is a success story at this point. Yeah, even like Nick's season, like it didn't work out in the end, but like following that season, you could tell like he really loved Vanessa. They seemed like a really great match. And, you know, ultimately they weren't, but it didn't seem phony or, you know, there weren't any like trickery going on. You know, there's drama early on with someone he had hooked up with before, but that was like in the past. And like when it came down to the finals, we were really invested. And I know we were so excited about Rachel being announced as the Bachelorette, but the one annoying thing was that they announced it before, like, she had gotten eliminated.
Yeah. What was that?
Because I was really rooting for them as well as a couple. So that was strange. But yeah, I do miss kind of those seasons where you're like, okay, I think this person does want to find love. That's it for those questions. So speaking of people that want to find love, let's switch gears and talk about Christy in her search on Labor of Love. What did you think of this episode this week?
I feel like these episodes could almost be half an hour.
Well, you didn't think the search for Trent's stuffed cat was like riveting, like must include 10 minutes of him looking for his cat?
No, I guess. No, I don't think so. and the date, like the group date felt very Bachelor-esque. They had to take a test, like a general knowledge quiz, and then had to go up against a bunch of preteens to see who's smarter.
Yeah, it seemed weird because there were no real stakes in it, though, because it was like, okay, Marcus won.
But he didn't like win a date place. Or anything.
Right. So then they did I like that rapid fire question. Like that seemed like it had more effect on the guys in the house where it was like she had to respond. Did any answers stick out to you of like who she might be leaning towards?
No, I don't even remember, like, because they went so quick, I almost didn't have a chance to retain any of what was being said.
Yeah, the only thing that the guys really picked up on was that she named Kyle twice, and we haven't even seen her really talk with him. So I don't know if maybe she is really interested in him or if she's being strategic with her answers to like not give things away, but it did cause a little bit of drama. But yeah, the guys are kind of pretty like calm. They're older guys. Like it's not like a season of The Bachelor where there's tons of drama and fighting going on. Like I think they fought on this episode about like one guy was talking when another guy was supposed to be talking, and that made Keith really upset. It didn't make sense. Like it just seems really like it's a stretch of trying to put something on TV to make like fill that hour. I agree.
Yeah. So yeah. And right after that, they had like a little, she went back to their house to hang out with them. We saw Jason, who had a rough first episode and been kind of was under the radar last week. Came back this week and I thought was like pretty brutal. he pulled her aside, which she liked, with some quiche. And how often do you eat quiche?
You know what? Costco has some frozen quiches. So every once in a while, it's like, I'll get that. And there's a spot near me that has it, but it's a little rich for me. Like it's not like an everyday thing, but I've had it fairly regularly, maybe like once every couple of months or something. How about you?
Quiche kind of freaks me out.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. Some egg things I'm weird with. Like I don't like looking at deviled eggs. I don't like looking at hard boiled eggs. I'll eat an omelet, so I don't know why quiche is any different than an omelet, but I don't know. It just weirds me out a bit. Ethan loves quiche, so he has it when he can.
Right.
And my grandmother will often get me to make him broccoli and cheddar quiche because she's like, I got all the supplies for you to make Ethan quiche. I was like, oh, great. Wonderful. I can't wait. I thought it was like an interesting food to be drawn in with. Somebody else said, like, I think I would use a glass of wine instead of quiche, but you know, to each their own.
Yeah, he had never seen it before, I don't think. So maybe he thought it was really exciting.
I'm surprised he could pronounce quiche, honestly. Right. So then they go downstairs and like play a drinking game. I feel like this is not great for Jason's like look, trying to get him to seem like not an insane person.
Right. Like, wasn't it like, oh, I was just nervous the first night, small town, so I just drank too much. But now it's like, she was like, oh, so you really want your first kiss to be with a drinking game? Then he got really upset that she asked for a kiss on the cheek, which is kind of the kiss of death on these shows.
I thought he reacted pretty grossly. Ugh. Honestly, like he seemed like pretty mad. you know, I guess it was in the confessional. It's like, no,
oh, that was
you
worse.
Kiss me on the mouth or on the dick, and that's it. That's the only place I'll accept kisses.
That was horrifying. Like,
I feel like she probably has like a pretty good judge of character, because she did send him home at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
She sent everyone that she called back home, which that surprised me. I thought somebody would get to stay, because that's kind of been the pattern. It's like 50% stay, 50% go home kind of thing. But yeah, she's doing it her own way. And then she had two dates, one-on-one dates, Stuart and Walker. So Stuart just had the date where we like these dates on The Bachelor, cooking at the house, not going anywhere.
I love this date. I thought it was a perfect thing. I do kind of like how she relates a lot of things, being like, hey, when we're parents, like, we're not going to be able to go out a lot. So we do have to kind of make do with what we have here. And like, in making do with what they had there was like a beautiful house. Right. So like, sure, I'll do that anytime. Walk me in there.
Yeah.
But I love the like relaxed date, casual, like, well, yeah, let's just like have dinner. Let's cook together. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think then it.
Then a quartet in the backyard. Just like, yeah, you would have nice. When you're a parent, right?
I've had a few quartets. No, and then it kind of led to the ability to have a little bit of drama, having the guys from next door come and like crash the date. I thought it was pretty rude. And if I were Chrissy, I probably would have sent Trent home immediately after that. Mm-hmm. Because a big part of the episode, Amy, Trent couldn't find Snookers.
Snoots.
Yeah. Sorry.
That was a huge part of the episode. And, you know, we're never even introduced to Snoots before this. So, yeah.
Snoots is Trent's stuffed cat. Now, I, a 28-year-old woman, cannot judge, because I have a stuffed sloth I sleep with every night. I have a lot of stuffed animals. I love stuffed animals. I like soft things and I like cushy things. So I love them. So I cannot judge. But Amy, you absolutely can.
Well, I mean, would you go and interrupt someone's date to be like, did you take my sloth? I don't think so.
I might take my sloth. Oh, a lot of the times, if I can't find him, like, he's just like slightly under a blanket. I'm like, where's my sloth? Where's sloth? Where is he? Show me where sloth is, Ethan. Where did you hide him?
That's what I like when I like can't find my eye mask, because like I have to sleep with something over my eyes.
Oh, I'm like, you should do that with your eye mask too, because you'll be like, "Where's my eye mask? Yeah. You took my eye mask." Like, I think it's just slightly more under your pillow than usual.
It's just under the covers somewhere. I'll wake up in the middle of the night like, "Where is this? Like,
where's my earplug?" And it's like, you like find it under me the next day. Oh, I hate that. Mm. That one gross. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I was glad to see nothing like malicious really happened with Snoots. He was like down in the. Like, they showed a shot of where he ended up, like, on top of, like, the H of fatherhood or whatever. But, kind yeah, of I guess they had
like
to...
Crashing the date was pretty not okay.
I think that's why they had to show it, because it was like, okay, they interrupted the date. But really, she didn't get so mad about it, but I liked Stuart's reaction. So it gave us a chance to see his reaction, where he was like, you know, I could, like, blow up at them, or I could just be like, you know what, they kind of told on themselves. Like, this is how they act, and... You know, I'm just gonna let it roll off my back. So I liked his reaction there, and I just like them as a couple. I think they look really cute together.
Yeah,
they have a lot of like, nervous energy.
He's like very down to earth and like seems very grounded, which I think is nice. I find her very grounded as well. So I like their even energy.
Yeah, and I think, did she tell him about being divorced? And you know, he took that really well. And then the next day, I was surprised it was with Walker.
Walker, and, I hardly know her.
Yeah. And he is the funeral director, but apparently he has all these side businesses as well. Have you?
Yeah, he travels a lot for work.
Like to Dubai and stuff.
I don't know.
He makes a solid gold debit cards. I don't know why you would need to have solid gold debit card. Like, I would worry about losing that. But so she was like, you could tell she was not comfortable with the funeral director thing. Like, do I want to raise kids in that? But also, she didn't like that he traveled that much. So it just didn't seem compatible lifestyle-wise.
Yeah, and I think that was fair and honest. And I appreciate that Christy is honest with us, telling us, like, just really weirded out by the funeral director thing. Like, I like being able to have that context. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had a lot of chemistry in the date, so I don't think I would have been surprised to see him eliminated.
Right.
After that date, but I like that she gave us some context as to why.
It's interesting to her dates. It doesn't seem like produced like The Bachelor, where it's like, I couldn't see someone like Walker even getting a one-on-one date on The Bachelor. It'd be like, okay, I can kind of rule him out. It seems like they would pick kind of more of the front runners or something, or I thought maybe she would eliminate him on the date. Cause I was like, why is she picking him? We haven't seen him at all. And with Jason, she kind of gauged that their lifestyles wouldn't match either. He didn't want to live in a city. She lives in Chicago and wants to stay there, it seems like. So it seemed like with Walker, she could have kind of done the same thing, like just had a few side conversations with him and maybe given the date to, you know, seems like she's really into Alan. Like, why hasn't he gotten, like, wouldn't she want him for the overnight date? Or Kyle, who she answered twice about. So maybe she's getting more dates than is typical. And so she's saving mm-hmm. them for later on, or always already feels sure about him. But it's just kind of interesting. I was like, I would not have picked him out to get one of these dates to begin with. And that was a good date, overnight, Tybee Island.
Yeah, it was cute and fun. And, you know, we love a travel date.
Mm-hmm. And so then we have who she eliminates. They all get chosen for We Need to Talk, and she eliminates all of them. She calls back Walker, Angelo, and Jason, and they all had kind of different type of reactions to get eliminated. I thought Angelo's was, well, who was worse, Angelo or Jason? Angelo said, well, she was a 4 at best, and I date 10s and 12s.
Oh my God, how rude are you? Like, oh, I'm so glad to see him gone. Like, screw that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so gross and rude. Like, we don't need you. It makes him look so much worse. Like, Chrissy looks like, you know, shining coming out of that. Right,
and that she has a great instinct. And then Jason, like, he had kind words at first, but then was like, when he left, he was like, North Carolina, I'm coming home. And then he peed on the house. So that was not great either.
And she saw that and she was like, well, I made the right decision. Right. And then we see her say goodbye to Walker. And that was obviously a lot tougher for her. She got really emotional. And I thought that was almost nice to see, because she's been almost a little robotic to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's nice to see that she does kind of have like some emotional stakes here. And she said to us that Walker really feels like the first guy she's actually breaking up with. He took it super well. He understood. And, you know,
I like that too. Cause like you said about her being a little more straightforward, cause you wouldn't really hear that on The Bachelor Bachelorette. Cause it's like, oh, everybody they're breaking up with, you know, like, but it's like, no, the other guys, like, she wasn't really serious about and just is going through the motions. Like, they were not serious contenders, but, you know, maybe there was something with Walker that we didn't see beforehand and they were forming a connection. And so, yeah, it felt like somebody she was really dating and had to break up with. So, yeah, that was interesting. Still enjoying the show, but I agree. It's like, I wish there was a little more meat to the episode.
Like, I pick up my phone a lot during the episode.
Yeah.
And I don't find myself, like, feeling the need to rewind if I think I've missed something.
Right. Yeah, and I don't even remember what was shown like for next week. Like, it doesn't like stick with me.
I really couldn't tell you either.
Yeah, it's fun filling up our Thursday with something kind of similar. And I, you know, listen to you and Angela and Mike talk about like it just does bring me that reminder of like the shows we watched on Fox Reality, like way back when, that we grew up with, or, you know, so it's like comforting in that way for some reason. Like, it's familiar. Yeah. And yeah. So,
and it's funny because here, both Labor of Love and The Bachelor on City TV. So a lot of times I'll see Labor of Love commercials during The Bachelor.
Interesting. Yeah. It's like they know their audience is you, Haley.
Yeah. they're like, Haley, here's what's going on this week. Enjoy.
Right.
Like, thanks, City TV.
Nice.
Freesh.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with our viewing of these shows and what we're hoping with changes for the future. I'm just really curious too to hear like when filming might begin, like hearing these rumors about Big Brother, but not really knowing when that's beginning, but just anxious to get some new TV back for us. But yeah, I think they're Bachelor Greatest Seasons Ever was a smart thing to fill in the gap a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty brilliant way to do this, honestly. I'm gonna watch every episode. I mean, obviously I'm gonna watch every episode. We're mm-hmm. podcasting, but like, I do think it's a good way to fill Mondays. 3 hours, yes, of course, it's a little long for me. Yeah. We did watch the third hour earlier this evening mm-hmm. After watching the first 2 hours last night. But you know,
yeah, it seems like it went like 2 hours, and then they kind of brought in the Peter thing, or so it seems like maybe they devote 2.5 hours to that show and then like mm-hmm. a half hour to some other type of content to fill in the gap of that and the seasons that they're not covering. But yeah, I'm interested to hear like if Ethan continues to like it, because I think it could help people that haven't watched it but just kind of want a little context, like, oh, I've seen this person referenced before. Yeah. And people refer to them or their season, especially with, you know, if Paradise comes back.
Yeah,
get familiar with some of these people and past seasons. And
I'm going to text Doug, too, to see if he's watching these.
Oh, yeah. He should.
Because he was not into watching Listen to Your Heart for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I'll ask him about it. We'll see.
Yeah. Even Listen to Your Heart feels so long ago.
Oh, my God. Doesn't it ever?
Yeah.
Everything feels like 45 years ago, but weeks are going by in 1 second.
I know. It's so strange. I agree. Like, it does not feel like it should be June right now. It feels like we're stuck in March. In a lot of ways, this all happened. So you have some other podcasts. Like, I just started listening to, you were on Renap recently, so don't spoil it for me.
I won't. So yeah, I was on an episode of Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast. And it was the Robin and Kiva Are Pointless episode.
Great title.
So Akiva slid into my DMs, like, you know, last week and said, hey, would you and Ethan be interested in being on like a Renap episode? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, I made sure it was cool with him. So then I messaged him later and said, hey, so like, what's the format? Because that night in bed, we were going over what our newlywed game answers would have been.
Right, because you thought that's what it was.
Yeah, and it's tough because Ethan has like no favorite thing. So I'm like, what's your favorite movie? He's like, oh, I don't know. Like, what's your favorite food? I can't pick one. Anyway, so I messaged Akiva and he's like, yeah, have you heard, like, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's like this British game show, Pointless. Like, it's really interesting. And I was like, Akiva, I love Pointless. I love it. Like, I genuinely watched it for 4 months every single night before bed. Like, that's what I would fall asleep to every night. I love Pointless. So I watch these episodes being like, what would I do if I was ever on Pointless? So I was like, I was genuinely so thrilled to be on this episode. We had a really good time with Shannon and her husband, Peter, and Zach and Navi. And Navi listens to this podcast.
She said that she listens. Hi, Navi. Because I was listening to that Third Wheel podcast and I was like, yeah, so upset. I'm like, I want Navi to be picked. Like, I was just rooting for her because I was like, oh, like, technical difficulties are so like frustrating.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I love that, like, this was a way she could come back. And it was kind of fun that she was paired with Zach, because I was like, oh, who is that? Like, oh, it's like I thought it was like a couple that like just didn't live together or something. That was really clever. But yeah, the fact that she listens and doesn't even watch The Bachelor.
Yeah,
it's our favorite type of listener.
So, hey, Navi. And then Jacob and Lydia. And Jacob messaged me saying that like him and Lydia were going to watch these Bachelor episodes and listen to our podcast. So hi, guys. That was a really, really fun episode to be a part of. Shannon and Peter made me laugh like so hard. They are so funny.
Yeah.
So it was just a really fun podcast. It's a long one, but like, listen to it. You can watch the video. You can see Ethan's really great quarantine mustache. He's very proud of it, as I am as well. And then I'm still doing Top Chef podcast. That is so much fun. We love doing that every week. I do think you should, like, I think everyone should watch that show. It's just really good. Unlike The Bachelor, I'm always like, just listen to the podcast. Top Chef, I think you should watch the show as well.
Nice. All right. Well, Haley, where can people find you for besides these podcasts? Where can they just follow you on social?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_, and you can check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. And please don't forget to sign the petition for a campaign for anti-racism in the Bachelor franchise over at batchdiversity.com, BACHdiversity.com. So sign that petition, tweet us that you signed it. They're currently at 64,482 signatures. Wow. So it'd be great if we We got the people who listen to our podcast in on that. I know a lot of you guys have reached out and said that this is something you believe in. So please sign it. That'd be so fantastic.
Yes. And you can find me on Twitter @RHAP Recapper. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.